Those of you who are viewing this broadcast from YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, I'm not able to communicate with you directly. Just broadcasting through by Zoom through our academy, through our website. So in case if you want to have a direct contact and be able to communicate with me directly, you can sign up through my website, zarathustra.tv. And then you come on Zoom and we can talk to each other. All right, cool. So let's start with the first thing first. Shadi, you asked me, your question was, is this realm real? Is this world real, correct? Is that right? I mean, you can unmute yourself if you like and ask me the question.
Yes, that's what I asked.
Right. So we're dealing with absolute reality and relative reality. In absolute reality, no, this world is not real. And it hasn't even happened. So in relative reality, of course, it's very, very real, as we all experiencing. Like if you fall down and hurt your arm or break your arm, it's a very, very real. And or if you get evicted and you get kicked out of your apartment or your home, it's very real. If your partner comes and tells you today that I'm not in love with you and I want to go with somebody else, it's very, very painful. So it is real in that sense, but in the absolute reality, no, it's not real. And I'm going to tell you why it's not real. First of all, we have to find out what is real. So if we don't understand what is real, then it's going to be very difficult to argue or to contemplate or try to figure out about this world. What is real is that which never changes, that which is always here. There is something that is always here, and that doesn't change. Something which is always here that has never been born and never dies. It's unchanging. It doesn't get, you can't add on to it or you can't chip away from it. So, and in this teachings, our goal is to recognize that. And that is our true nature. So let's just hypothetically, like, let's say, okay, I don't understand. I don't agree with this. I don't know how this works. Let's talk about it. All right. So the I am, when, and you all have experienced it, it's impossible not to experience it and not to, again, experience, these are words, because experience is something that comes and goes, but I don't have a better word for it. So we can argue these things back and forth forever, but just bear with me and let me explain it, even though maybe I'm not using the right words, but I'm kind of pointing out to when you're in a deep meditation, and I'm not saying that meditation is just you're sitting here closing your eyes, but when you're in non-dual state, that you're totally one with whatever is happening with you, whatever you're doing. But again, I'm going to use two different examples. The first one is, let's say that you're in meditation, like you're sitting and you're having your eyes closed and you go in a very deep meditation. This deep meditation is that you've gone beyond the mind. There is no thoughts and you're gone, but there's presence. You're alive. You're here. There is awareness, but in this deep state of meditation, in the middle of it, you don't tell yourself, oh my God, I'm gone. Oh my God, I'm one with life. There's no I, there's no you in a sense of a separated entity who is experiencing oneness. That person that normally we're experiencing ourselves as a separate person, because okay, this is a cream, a bottle of cream. I'm not one with this one. Or here's this glass of water, I don't feel like I am this glass. I don't experience oneness with it. So, and then when you're driving on the street and somebody pulls in front of you and they're being an idiot or something and you get angry at them, you don't feel like you're one with them. So it's not your daily experience that you feel one with everything. In your daily experience, there's you feel separated from the world, and the world could be very vicious, and all kinds of screwed up things are happening in it. So people cheat each other or lie to each other or kill each other or rape each other, or they're kind to each other and take care of one another. So clearly, from very early beginning of your life, you're experiencing the separation. So this is our experience. But when you go into this place within yourself that we call it meditation, and that's one way of doing it, sitting there, you're meditating, and you start, when you go beyond the mind, that there is no more thoughts, and then you go into this place, as you go deeper and deeper within, that you lose any kind of sense of an individual, a person is sitting here meditating. There's no sense of that anymore. There is presence, there's I am, but it's not like I am meditating. That thought doesn't exist anymore. It's just is. There's isness. It's just existence. But there's not a person meditating. So you go back to your original state, which is I am. And let's say an hour goes by and you come back. You come back to your body senses, to your body, and you're reflecting on that, and you tell yourself, oh my God, I was gone. I was gone. I Zarathustra, I was one with life. I was one with existence. So in this transaction, what happens is the sense of I am someone in charge of my life, responsible. I have to look after myself. I have to look after, if I don't pay my own bills, who pays my bills? If I don't think about my life, who thinks about my life? I need to be in control of my life. That sense is not there. It's just pure being. That's one way it happens. It can happen through you're making love to somebody. And that's what they call Tantra. The definition of Tantra is divine oneness through the union of the two opposites. The divine oneness through the two opposites merge into each other. Divine oneness through the union of the two opposites. So the two merge into each other and they lose their sense of separation and it becomes a one. And some of you may have experienced it, that you're really deeply in love with someone and you're having this amazing making love and you lose yourself. And if you pay attention, or even you can try it at this point in your life with somebody that you really feel very connected, whether you're doing tantric exercises or not, it happens that, okay, you're with the person, you're going through the motions, you know, in and out, but you don't know if you're the woman or the man. You don't know if you're on the top or you're in the bottom. I mean, it has happened to me, like I literally had to open my eyes because I didn't know if I'm the girl or I'm the guy. It was like, which one of these two bodies does this consciousness belong to? Or I didn't know if I'm the room or I'm in the bed. Am I the bed or I'm the room or the person? So I had to open my eyes to see where do I belong to, because the sense of separation was completely gone. There was like motion happening and you hear noises like, oh my God, but nobody's doing it. It's just happening, but there's no one doing it. That's one example. Again, this can happen. Let's say you're running. I'm going to throw different examples to you so it gives you an idea, because I'm 100% sure that you have this experience, you've had this experience in your life. Why you've had this in your life is because it's your true nature. There's no way out of it. It's impossible not to be who you are. So, and it's impossible that you have not experienced it. You may not be aware of it and not know how it works. And no one has ever pointed out to you in this way. Again, I don't know. I'm not saying you don't know, but I'm saying, like, we're pointing out at things. And then if you reflect back and you're going to see, oh, wow, yeah, that's true. This has happened to me before. So let's say you're running and, you know, this is what you're doing, running, and you're really in a groove, or you're swimming or whatever exercise you're into. And if you pay attention, you can go into this zone that as you're running, you lose the sense of whether you're the one who's running. You may become one with your shoes and with the path you're running on. And then maybe an hour goes by and you have no idea. It's just everything is happening so smoothly. And then maybe you come back to yourself and you say, oh my God, I was gone. I don't even know how I ran like 5 miles. Same thing happens, let's say, if you're into arts or music, you're painting and you're drawing, you're listening to some music, and as you're doing it, maybe 3 hours go by and you've been painting and you have no idea how time went by because there's no mind. You're not thinking. It's just like you become one with the brush that is in your hand and the canvas, and it's happening. It could be with music. A lot of the musicians, they start playing music, you know, whether you're playing a violin or you're playing guitar, and a few hours go by and all of a sudden you come back to yourself, like all this time has gone by and you haven't even noticed it. It's like you're not playing music or you're not drawing, painting. It just starts to happen on its own. It's complete oneness. And in this transaction, nobody is doing it. You are not doing the painting. The painting is happening, but you're not doing it. It's effortless. So these are moments in life, or let's say drugs. You've taken, I don't know, something. You've taken some kind of psychedelic or something that, whatever that is. And you go into this place, you know, I don't know, you did ayahuasca, you took shrooms, I don't know, you took MDMA or whatever. I'm not promoting these things. So I don't want someone coming after me and say, hey, you're promoting taking substances. I'm just saying that in my experience, it has happened. Like, I've gone into this place, like completely gone and oneness, totally one with everything. So here I am. Let's say I take the substance and it's going to last, let's say, for 1 hour, and then it ends here. So Zarathustra is gone. There is oneness in between. And then Zarathustra comes back. And when I come back, I look back and I say to my friend, oh my God, I was gone. I was one with life, with existence. Same thing. You're making love. It's a tantra. You go into tantra. And then it starts from here. And then when you come back to the individual self, you look back and you say, oh my God, this was the most amazing make love of my life. But I was gone. I was one. I became one with her or with him. Same thing. You are running, or you're drawing, painting, or you're making art, or you're doing pottery, or whatever is your thing. And then you're gone. There's no mind. It's pure existence. And then when you come back to yourself, to the individual self, you come back, the mind comes back. Then you look back and you say, oh my God, I was gone. But when you're gone and you're in this bliss state, or you're in this place that there is no you, it's a happening, an event is happening. Yes, your body is involved in it, but there's no you. At that time, there's no thoughts. There's no thoughts of saying, oh my God, I'm gone. You may say, oh my God, but there's no I, there's no individual, there's no sense of separation there. Does this make sense? Anyone? Yeah. Have you? Now, when you reflect back, you can reflect back and see if you had this experience in your life or this event happens, because you go into the place of I am, not I am a man, I'm a woman, I'm from Norway, I'm from Middle East, or I'm white, or I'm black. None of that. It has no identity. It's simply I am.
So when you're in that place that you say I'm gone, and there's no individual in those moments, then there's also, there's no mind, there's no emotions, there's no sensations. It's just that, it's just pure consciousness without any emotions or anything. When you say I'm gone, for example, it's like just completely a detachment from everything, and it's just peace.
Yes. Yeah. There is. Yeah. It's just is. You fall back into your original state.
It doesn't have any emotions. Like, the emotions might come in on the screen or whatever. It just suddenly you feel something, or you're making love and you feel something. But then when you're saying, I'm gone, it's basically just like blank. Like no mind, no knowledge, no nothing.
During the time you're gone, there's nobody there to register it. It's an event happening, but it's not a personal event. It's not happening to you or to anyone. It's just a happening, something happening, but there is no one there to say, oh, it's happening to me, because the I is not there. The individual is not there. It's just an event. But later the mind comes and you say, oh my God, I was gone. But not during. Yes, during is just pure being.
Zarathustra.
Yes.
If I've had like sudden experiences of feeling like I'm one with everything, this is so amazing, this is exhilarating, this is bliss, like, is that my ego playing tricks on me?
Say the first part again.
So I've experienced times when I feel like I am one with everything, but it's not emotion. It's not a lack of emotion. It's like, wow, this is bliss. Like, this is amazing. Like, this is the best thing that can ever happen. Like, this feeling, and this is not on drugs or anything.
Right.
Yeah. It's just like, wow, this is amazing. I don't know how to say it. Like, this is just, this is infinite. This is infinity. But then there's emotion with that. It's the most amazing emotion you would ever feel.
Right.
So is that ego?
It's hard to answer this question, because it varies on, I mean, where it's coming from. I mean, if it's coming from a place that you're witnessing, it's an observation of a place that you've discovered within yourself. So it all depends, you know, if it's your ego tripping or not.
Okay.
You always know if you're showing off to somebody else or to even yourself, or you just have observed a deep space that you have experienced within yourself.
I feel like you've answered my question. Yeah. Huh? I feel like you've answered my question.
Right. Yeah. And
so not all emotions are the ego.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with emotions. Emotions is, it's the ego is this I comes and says, hey, look at me. I have improved. I've gone to this place. I'm like amazing. Or wow. Check it out, Julie. You're getting close, and you have become enlightened, or you're really grooving.
Yeah, but I remember you said that. I find that it's difficult to know when when it's the ego trip or when I'm having a genuine, like
Look, there's many moments in life like you're completely in this place of totally surrender and acceptance. And you know you're not ego tripping, you're just there. But if you come out and you're sitting down with one of your girlfriends and you're bragging about it, or you're kind of like, oh, tell yourself like, oh, look at me. I am, you know it. It's very clear. You just know it.
One thing I wanted to ask also, Julie, because she was the one who brought this up, is the sensations that you experienced where you said it was soul bliss and I felt one, and this is all infinite. Was it in moments where, you know, everything was peaceful around you and you were in nature, or was it really like something that could have annoyed you at that time, or somebody could have said something? You also experienced that sensation of being one with this, with the soul, with what's happening.
Are you asking me this question or
no,
Julie?
I'm asking Julie. To see if it happens like when regardless of the circumstances you in your life that you're experiencing, or at moments where you're on your own or you have solitude and everything is.
I love that question because I had an experience just last week in the car driving to the office, and I was just like bawling, like crying so hard because I was just in love with everything so much. And I was stuck in traffic in the car. And I think there are glimpses of that when you're in nature, but the most profound experiences I've ever had is always like washing the dishes or like driving the car or something weird.
Nice.
So back to the first part of this conversation that we were talking about. So we talked about what is real and what is not. And the reason we got to this point was I was trying to answer Shadi's question is, once you recognize the space that you go into, this place, which it's always here, it's in the background. Like, you know, you're looking at this wall over there. There's a painting hanging there. But so if we take the painting away, the wall is still there. So what I'm trying to say is you're that wall, you're the background. And this background, or let's use the blue sky. The sky is always blue. And all these years that you lived on planet Earth, you've never seen, no matter how many storms come and go, blizzards, snow, wind, whatever. And you've had like months of bad weather. But at the end of the day, when all the clouds go away, what remains? The blue sky remains. It's always blue. The blue sky doesn't come and say, oh, wow, we had 6 months of bad weather, or it's been 10 years that the weather has been really bad. And I'm hurt and I'm gonna have scratches on me. And there's like this residue of pink or green on the sky because it's hurt. It remains blue. So, and that's with the nature of who we are, which is the I am. That's our true identity. So this I am doesn't have any form and it doesn't come and go. But the forms come in it and they go. So now let's say in a layman language, so how is that gonna help you, or how is that gonna relate to your situation? In what the biggies, like the big yonis, they talk about in this awakening, in this realization, is the realization of the truth of who you are, the truth of who I am. The truth of who I am is I'm the blue sky, or I'm the screen, I'm the wall. Or let's say you go to movie theater, you have this white, huge white screen, and there's a movie is being projected. There's this story is being projected on it. And the movies last, let's say, about an hour, 20 minutes to 2 hours, normally. Let's say a two-hour movie. So right now, your movie is this story that you're living, your life. This life you're living in is your movie. But at the end of the day, when the duration of the movie ends and all the lights come on, you see there's a big screen left in the movie theater. There's no blood in it. No one had died. You know, it's not ripped off, no matter what the movie was. Let's say it's a gangster movie, people killing each other, or it's a war movie or whatever it is. But there's no stains on the canvas. So something got projected on it. And then when the projection ended, you just see a big, huge canvas, so which is white. So this is who you are. You are the canvas. And who you think you are is this story that you're living right now is being projected on it. So what happens is we start to identify with the story, with the projection that is happening. And we think we're that person. And that what happens in probably the last stage of your spiritual evolution is you come to this realization, you come to this teaching, this particular teaching, this particular realization, that you begin to realize that you are not that movie which is being projected. You're actually the canvas. So the movie which is being projected, it's only is 2 hours and then it's going to end. So, but the canvas is going to stay there forever. So what I'm talking about, what is real and what is not, absolute reality versus a relative reality, is that absolute reality is that which never changes. Relative reality is the one that is changing, like your life. It's always changing. You don't have the same body as you had. I mean, when you were 5 years old, you had a different size. When you were 10, when you went through puberty, all of a sudden, you know, starts for a woman, things growing from this side and that side. For a man, you know, they start having hair on their face and you see changes. And, you know, you're 20 years old, you're 30, 40, 50, and you keep going. You know, at age 60, you don't have the same body as when you were 20. So it changed. And your character changed, your desires changed, your emotions come and go, they're not the same, and the thoughts come and go. So everything that comes and goes is not real. It's real in that moment, in the experience, but it's not real in comparison to that which doesn't change. And that which doesn't change is the I am. When you go back into this place, maybe we call it deep meditation, the oneness, then your character, the person is not there anymore. The person has dissolved into the I am. It's just I am, and it's always there, and it doesn't change. And because of that quality that we have, we're able to be aware and notice of our thoughts, of our mind, and we're able to be aware of our emotions. They come and go, as well as we're able to observe our body changing. Otherwise, how would you know that you have a mind? How would you know that you have thoughts and they're changing or they're making you suffer? How would you know that? Because they get compared to something that doesn't change. Your mind comes and goes. Thoughts come and go. Your emotions come and go all the time. Some people say, I'm very emotional. I'm very sensitive. Little things can really bother me. Well, how do you know that? Because they get compared to this other part of you that doesn't change. So because something here is not changing, so if you're up, you notice being up and happy and very excited in comparison to that which doesn't change. And then when you're down, you're depressed, you're sad, you're angry or whatever, desperate or lonely, that gets compared to this other part of you that doesn't change. So once you start realize that, recognizing this, your attention keeps in this work, what we're trying to do is we're trying to direct our attention inwards towards this part of ourselves that doesn't change. It's very still. And if you discover this part, if you notice this part, and you keep your attention on it, then they call it awakening, or your quality of life starts to drastically change, because you're no longer can get very much involved with your other parts that are changing all the time. You don't get identified with them. So you start to become free. You become free from your ups and downs. I mean, suffering starts to go away in your life. You live life, but you don't suffer because you're not identifying. This is not to try to numb yourself. We're not talking about learning techniques not to feel. We're not trying to learn techniques to manipulate our thoughts or any of these things. No, we learn to separate ourselves from all of it. We learn to bring our focus on this other part of ourselves, which is permanent, which doesn't change. It's always like this. And it observes change. Does this make sense?
So you could also say that, I want to say that it's not like depression or numbness, but that part that never changes, that's still and is not involved, where it's the back screen, is somewhat also dispassionate. There's a dispassion happening towards everything that happens then. It's just completely, I wouldn't say silent or empty or neutral.
Yes, we can call it emptiness or nothingness. I mean, the word emptiness or nothingness can scare some people because it sounds very dull, or it's a black hole, or it's just boring, but that's not it. These are words that we're using to refer to it, but in reality, it's very juicy. Discovering this part of yourself and starting to identify to it, your life is going to be 1,000 times or 100,000 times more juicy, more exciting.
Does and that happen?
Go ahead.
Does it happen after the dispassionate phase? Or it's interchanging?
As you begin to recognize it and identify to it, as you start, because it's like you begin to notice the witness. There's different words to it. I am. Atman, the witness, the observer. But the more you recognize this part of yourself, which is the truth of who you are, the more your attention goes towards in that way, the less your attention goes into the world, the less you pay attention in the objects that are coming and going, and the more your focus goes in that direction. And the juicier your life becomes, the quality of your life begin to change. Nothing in the outside world changes, but everything in your world begins to change because you recognize something that doesn't change and it's permanent. So things that are changing, they're not affecting you anymore. You don't really give a shit about it. You know, you're not really hyped. We're going global warming. It's like it's meaningless to you. Or what's going to happen 20 years from now? It's meaningless to you. There may be a war coming, or there's going to be a pandemic coming and kills everybody. It's meaningless to you because it's a change. It's not that. You have found the real thing, and everything else, it becomes a facade. It doesn't mean in your human way it doesn't affect you, but it doesn't affect your understanding because your understanding is getting deeper and deeper. So, and as your attention is not on what is changing and shifting to that which doesn't change, in a way of speaking, your vibration starts to rise. You're vibrating in a much higher frequency because you are going beyond the mind, the world of the mind, because it's your mind that has created this world. Whatever you see in the world is the creation of your mind. So as you start to become ignorant, ignoring it, you're more getting established into the silence. You're getting established in that which doesn't change. So this thing that doesn't change is still and is silent. It's not moving. It's not affected. So the more you begin to recognize that, the higher becomes your vibration. You're vibrating in a much higher frequency. So as you're vibrating in a higher frequency, the world that appears to be, which is your human reality, it needs to change. It has to change to where you're at because it is a projection of your own mind. So now you're reaching to higher levels, then the quality of your life is going to change naturally because you upgraded from economy in economy seats to first class. So obviously, being at first class, you're going to get a lot better service. You're a lot more comfortable. You have a bed you can sleep in. You're not jammed into a little place. So now I like to come to the second part. Julie, you asked me, so are we good at this place? We can come back and visit this part again if we want. and I'm going to, okay, there's... All right, let's see. Someone's been writing to me. Let me see. Our soul is real. Everything else is our life is not real. Self-transcendence meditation. So as no agenda. I'm so this is called the state. Meditation. So you're paying various moments. Right. Okay, thanks. Thank you. Arca. Hi, Arca. Where are you from? Okay. So we'll talk later if you don't feel like talking right now. But I want you to understand one thing, because there's a huge difference between this teaching and the pseudo-spirituality. What is widely being taught right now around the world, especially the Western world, Western spirituality, is that we have the power of manifestation. So our thoughts can manifest things. And this is not, I'm not teaching that. Don't mistake that. What I'm saying is we all live in our individual world, which is a projection of our mind. But I'm not giving you license to sit down and try to manifest things. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about an individual has the power of manifesting things as an individual. I'm not saying that. I don't want to confuse you, because that's ego, that I'm as an individual thinking that I can manifest things. And that's very ignorant. It's pure ignorance, because there is no individual. There's only the sense of being separated, but it's impossible because there's no separation. It doesn't exist. It can never exist. It's absolutely non-existing. Separation cannot exist. Only in the relative reality, only in the world that it appears to be separated. Once you come to the awakening of recognizing that which never changes, that which is permanent, then it's very clear that you are that. And you're not separated from anything. Everything else is an aspect of yourself. The good, the bad, and the ugly. All the ugliness in the world is you. All the beauty in the world is you. You're not separated from any of it. It's all your own self. So as the mind starts opening up, or our consciousness begin to expand, you start to awaken to, oh, wow, I'm all there is ugly and I'm all there is beautiful, because I am total. And then eventually, as this awareness settles in, you begin to rise above right, good and bad, right and wrong. So it becomes like a pyramid. So you start rising above it, because there is no good and there's no bad. There's no right and there's no wrong. They don't exist. They're all expressions of the one. Everything you find screwed up in this world and ugly and vicious is a part of the oneness. And everything you find beautiful and amazing and holy is a part of the oneness. They're all the same. It's just different expressions of it. And some to you, some of them are more you resonate to and some you don't. But none of it is better or worse than the other. They're all God. Everything in this world that you see and experience is God's will. Anything that is happening, from a child minister to someone who's abusing children, to Mother Teresa or Amaji, the hugging mother, everything is all God's will, because there's nothing in the world of appearance that we think is real has any individual engine of itself or autonomy of itself or a power of itself. They're all deriving their power from the same source. And it's the will of one that is allowing them to do what they do, because they're all expressing the will of the one. It wants to experience everything simultaneously. Once you start to realize that, it's like, wow, oh my God. And peace comes. Oh my God, all this ugliness I see in the world, it's God's doing? Yes. So you start to settle and just relax. Oh wow, all this beauty I'm seeing is God's will? Yes. It's all itself. And then your mind starts to mellow down, because you don't have to constantly be in this battle of righteousness. Julie also asked a great question that regarding going to sacred places like Mount Shasta or Sedona or a lot of different powerful places like the Hawaiian Islands, I guess Maui or Tulum, or going to Egypt, to the pyramids, these power places. And there's more, some of them I don't even know or haven't experienced yet. And are you there, Julie, by any chance? Do you want to ask your question one more time, if you don't mind, because you're doing a better job than I do.
I guess maybe the focus is not even on places. It's just, does the energy that is outside of us affect the ability for us to connect with the I am?
Right. Yeah.
It could be a crystal or whatever, a crystal or a church or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Great question. And first of all, this energy that appears to be outside of us, let me just be more specific. It appears that it's outside of you or outside of me, only in appearance. So here's a very direct answer to this question, because this is a wonderful question and a lot of people, they can benefit from it. Is, okay, I go to a very amazing place. Let's say I go to Sedona or Mount Shasta or one of these places that there are energy vortexes. And yes, there are energy vortexes on the planet, same as everything else that we have. We got places that are very dark and we have places that are very light. But this is what I've experienced, that when I go to places like that, or a lot of people say, oh, wow, yeah, I go to Bahamas or I go to Caribbean islands or something like that. I go to the nature. I'm in Thailand, Bali, Costa Rica, and Lake Atitlan. And I immediately start to become feeling very, very spiritual, or go to a bliss state. And you open up, your heart opens up, right? And you feel closer to God or your own divinity. I'm just using different words, okay? But we understand what I'm talking about. So what happens is really the nature, this place you go to, Mount Shasta, it's reflecting back to us of the peace that we have within ourselves. It is an outside object, the place, and that place is mirroring back the silence you have within yourself, the peace you have within yourself. It's a mirror. That actual energy or is within yourself. The place, it just gives you an opportunity to experience it in a deeper level, because again, we're projecting, we got used to from childhood on projecting on the objects like love and acceptance. I have to find the girl, the one that is going to complete me. Once I find my soulmate, I'm completed. Once, whatever situation it is, like, yeah, I love to live in these places. So it makes me feel a lot better or closer to God. So the actual place, first of all, is within yourself. Secondly, in the world of appearance, that it looks like there is a place and I'm here, the place only mirrors back my own power, my own energy, that quietness and stillness and love that I have within myself, the place mirrors it back. And then speaking about objects, having crystals or activated jewelry or things like that, again, it's not like there are objects, things that are they have been activated in one way or the other. But then again, it's your own being. If you are projecting on the object, then you're making a mistake, because no object is going to be anything equal to what's inside yourself. So yeah, it would be great to have the objects, but it's a mistake to project on them that they're the ones who are giving you power. They will comfort you and they seem like they have the power and they're reminding you and they're wonderful. It's good to have them as long as the way you look at it shifts, that it is reminding of what is inside myself, not projecting it on something else, because you're really the one you're looking for and you're the one. You are the one. Great. Do we have any other questions, any comments? So this weekend, I'm going to Europe. So my tour starts from Norway, from Hamar, Norway. And Miss Hilde, who's here, my dear sister, has organized 3 events in Norway. And I'm going to get to see some of my brother sisters that some of you are here with me right now, and hopefully I get to see you. We have a shamanic healing circle on Wednesday, the 19th of April, followed on the 20th, which is on a Thursday. Is that a distant healing event we have, Hilde? Or
yes, that's correct.
Yeah, we have a distant healing event that I'm going to be teaching how to do distant healing. And and then after that, we're having a weekend workshop starting on Friday afternoon from, I think, 5 to 9 or 6 to 9. And then 6 to 9. And then Saturday, Sunday, all day. And so if you're around and you feel like joining me, that would be lovely to see you. Our weekend workshop, it's Heart Awakening Third Eye Activation. Can you remind me? I'm sorry. Yeah, right.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. It's Heart Awakening Third Eye Activation is the workshop, which all of the teachings, whatever I teach, it's always everything goes back to the learning how to go beyond your mind into the silence. The more you're able to go to this place, the higher becomes your vibration, because really all healing, all activations, everything is coming from the within. It's coming from here, recognizing your true state of being, which is the I am. And that's where you derive your power from. In other words, getting rid of your mind, because the mind is just a bundle of thoughts and it cannot be here. In here and now, there is no mind. Only it resides in the past. Not even future, because future thoughts, they're all coming from your memory, as the mind is projecting into the future and is projecting past experiences, ideas, or fears, or whatever it is. So it's not even there. So once we learn to go beyond the mind, then you enter into your power. That's where your power is. So after, and then followed by that, I go to Poland, and I have I have a retreat there. It's a 7-day retreat in Nova Kafkova. It's a little village, and we're at the center called Here and Now Center. And I'm teaching the fifth dimensional quantum healing training program. And we modified it and we added self-love and self-acceptance to it, which I'm very excited because I have done it before, but I've never done it in this format. And so it's exciting. And so if you, you're welcome to contact us regarding availability and where to stay. I mean, we're all staying in the same place. So that's going to be a week of training program. And I haven't been in the countryside of Poland, so I'm really looking forward to experiencing something new. And then after that, I go to Frankfurt. And I have three events in Frankfurt. First one, I think it's the dates. I can't recall the dates. I'm in Frankfurt from May 7th to 17th. And I have three events in Frankfurt. And I'm looking forward to that. My website is Zarathustra.tv. My social media pages, they're all Zarathustra5D. And if you have any comments or you want to communicate with me, the best is to write an email to me. And my email address is info@zarathustra.tv. info@zarathustra.tv. Feel free, contact me. If you feel like you've enjoyed this webinar and it's of any help, you can always share this with your friends, or they can subscribe to my YouTube channel. Also, a copy of this broadcast will be emailed to you. You can also find it on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and I don't know if I missed out anything. No, that's it. That's about it. Nice seeing you all. I don't think Wednesday evening, I'm not able to. I'm going to see if I have a Wednesday evening available during tour. If I can, then I will broadcast the academy. We'll have the academy if I can manage it. Normally it's very tough because it's a very tight schedule, and most evenings either I have an event or I'm just recovering. So, but if I can manage it, I'll definitely let you know. If not, hopefully, God willing, inshallah, if I'm still alive, I'll come back to Los Angeles on the 17th or 18th, and then we'll have another academy that we'll resume. By the way, I've been invited by some of my lovely friends, and also both Shadi's and Mona to present at the festival in Toronto this summer. So I'm going to be at Bhumi Festival, and that's going to be from July 11th to the 15th. And then we're going to have a series of different events in Toronto. So, and we're going to put all the detailed information on my website. It's nice to see you all. If nobody has any questions, then I'm going to get going. I got a lot of things to do before I get ready to leave. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask me. If not,
I will just, this is Karen again. I will just ask my question. I missed the point earlier where you asked if we have questions. I'll ask again in the next session that we have, you know.
Okay. You're welcome to ask me now if you want to.
Yeah, it was just about that moment. You touched upon it already a little bit in answering the first question tonight, where you talked about where you become that observer or witness and everything else doesn't matter so much to you. That's where I feel where I'm at right now. But it's not, the outside world doesn't really matter to me anymore, but it's not yet enjoyable.
So, okay. Where are you from, Karen?
Germany.
Germany. And where in Germany?
1.5 hours southwest of Frankfurt. And I already looked into your events there from the Frankfurt Ring.
So it's possible maybe I see you, right?
Possible, yes.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now I remember. I'm sorry. I forgot about what you've shared with me. Yes. The it's a very good place you're at right now, that you have come, you've tried everything, mm-hmm. and you're exhausted.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, this is not going anywhere. You know, I'm just going around and around. And and even though it may feel frustrating at this point, I mean, I don't know exactly how you feel. I'm just saying things, so don't mm-hmm. take it personal. I'm assuming you're a bit frustrated with the process. So, and it's like, so what?
Yes.
And it's a very good place.
It's
you're lucky you're at this place, and I'm going to tell you why, because I speak of direct experience. I'm not saying this based on something I've heard or somebody has told me, because for a lot of spiritual teachers, you got to get to this place, and then it's here that really another set of ears open up. It's like your ears open up. You know, you've seen these Doberman dogs that, you know, they, something's happening, all of a sudden their ears, boom, goes up. I don't mm-hmm. know if you ever watched them.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And they become really like attentive. So, and that's where that it's like being at that place. So now it's time to let go of all the concepts, all the stories that we think of, whatever that is, past life, I had these past lives, or after I die, I'm going to go to this place, or I need to do work. Just one moment. I need to mute everybody. Something happened. Okay, never mind. I'm taking these courses to doing any cord cutting with my ancestors, or I'm going to take this Akasha record courses, or don't take me wrong, I'm not putting anybody down, and I'm not insulting anyone. All these different things are necessarily that we go through, and all the stuff regarding, I need to clear up all my things with my parents or with my ancestors. All these processes we go through are necessarily, if they happen to you. None of them are bad, but none of them are pointing out to the truth of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
The last stage of your spiritual practice comes to silence.
Mm-hmm.
You become, and this is where you're at. If awakening and full realization means freedom from suffering, so you're not suffering anymore, and there's no more questions, there's no more stories, is that to go beyond the mind, means going into the silence, going into this place that there is no thoughts. That means you become quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And you're aware that the mind is going to come and say, well, if, you know, if this spiritual path we're going through, I mean, why did God create the world like this? Or why do we have to go through all these things to come back to our original state if we're already God, if we're already existent? And what is the meaning of all these things? So the mind is going to come and bring these questions. A thousand of different kind of questions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah. And so this is the place that this teaching becomes really handy. And you kind of need to be attentive to it, as far as no matter what question comes up, it doesn't matter. It's just another question. It's just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And you go beyond the mind into just being quiet. You're just silent. And you refuse to get involved in stories, spiritual mm-hmm. stories or world stories. Whatever is happening in the world, it doesn't matter. You just don't get involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you come back into being quiet and still.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a spiritual story comes by you read something or you've been at somebody's seminar, or again, you don't ask questions. You just come back into silence. you keep continuously coming back to this place. And when I say silence, it means also you come back to the witness, to the awareness, to the one which is here. It's aware. It can hear noises. It can hear stories happening in the world. There's a being, there's an entity here that its only job is to be aware. And it's doing a good job, is aware of things. But before, you're involved in the stories. And now you don't get involved. You don't allow your mind to get, you don't entertain your mind with any stories. It doesn't matter how great it is, how wonderful it is. Oh, wow, we're entering into fifth dimension and it's going to be a utopian life. This is still a story. Or the world is going to end and be very ugly, or we're going to be manipulated, or aliens going to come, or the government is going to chip us. That's another story. You just refuse getting involved in any stories and you just come back and being quiet. So you're quiet. You're still. Emotions going to come and go. Strong emotions. You still stay in your position. You acknowledge them. You know, you wake up in the morning and you're depressed. You acknowledge it. Depression is here. Depression is visiting me. And you experience depression, but you don't identify to it. Then another story comes like, oh yeah, you know, I'm not excited about life anymore and it's meaningless. Fine. You hear the thoughts in your mind and you just stay still. You don't entertain the thought, the story. You just stay there. And then it goes away. Then another thing comes continuously. You just continuously come back into your position of observation or being aware, because you can't help it not to be aware. But you keep your attention on this part rather than outside. And, oh, okay, so when am I going to awaken, or what is it like awakening? That's another story. It doesn't matter. You're just here. You are here and it's now. And then it's interesting because what happens is, I'm sorry, let me see if I can mute. See, just one moment because there's a little, okay, I think it's good now. What happens is when you're pulling back, meaning you're just here, you're quiet. And you refuse to get involved in stories, even like with organic food or all these chemicals, because a lot of spiritual people are so involved with the story, or it's kind of, the food has to be organic, or it has to be whatever it is. You pull away from everything. You don't allow yourself to get involved with anything. And you practice being quiet. And what happens is all of a sudden space starts to open up. And it's very difficult to explain it, but you're here and you're present and your attention is on the self, on the watcher, on the observer, on the I am, and you're not entertaining objects. And then space starts to open, vastness. And in this opening of the space, what happens is, because it's infinite, existence is infinite. It's infinite possibilities and it's unlimited. So when you're pulling back and you're just not entertaining any stories anymore, whatever that is, and this space starts to expand, and all of a sudden you start experiencing miracles. All of a sudden, like bubbles of bliss starts to surface. You're just sitting there and you start laughing, and or you start crying. And now that you're not contracted, like, I gotta get awakened, I gotta get there. You just kind of let it go, because you don't even need to get there, because you're already it. It's just this effort to try to get to it is holding you back from recognizing who you are. You're already that. There's nothing you need to do to get to it. It's like you're already a female, you're a woman, and you don't need to do anything to be a woman. You already are. It's just recognizing it that you are. Oh no, I need to be a woman. I'm not really a woman. I really need to be a woman. So that's what has happened to us. I need to awaken. I need to get my third eye open. I need to become one with God. You're already one. All you have to do is chill out. Just relax. Everything is going to unfold automatically. Like how you found this teaching, how you were brought here, and how you were carried throughout your life. Even though it may appear like you were doing it, you weren't doing any of it. It was doing you, and it's carrying you very swiftly, very beautifully, and it's carrying you home. So when you pull back and you relax, and it's like, nah, I don't really have to get it. I don't need to get anywhere. I'm just going to be here. And then you start to recognize the richness and the vastness of here. I mean, all the beauty and the love and the power and magic of life is only here in this moment. And it's now. But we go to our mind. And the mind is what? The mind is just thoughts, and it's all past. It's the graveyard. Because even when you think of future, what is future? All the future thoughts are your experiences of things that you know from the past, and you're projecting it into another time. So future is really past because it's non-existing. There is no future. It's a non-existing thing. It's impossible because you're always here. You're always in this moment. And this particular moment is completely independent from any other moments. Because the moments of life, they happen they don't happen in a horizontal way. You're not cruising in a horizontal style from past, present, future. It's vertical. So every moment happens one time in the entire history of mankind. And it happens now, and then it's over. It's not even connected to the next moment. The fact that it's happening so fast, it gives us the illusion that they're connected, like you're in a continuum, but they're not. Their distance to each other is very, very, very close. It's like a reel, like movies, when they create the movies. They call it movies because it's 500,000 images of film. And then when this roll of film is moving, it creates this illusion that there is somebody's walking or talking, but it's just images attached to each other. And the same thing with the life we're living right now. It's always here and it's always now. And it happens like this. And then the next moment happens. Then the next moment happens. But since they're not connected to each other, you can't go back because it's just a flash. It happens one time and it never happens ever again. So you can't go back to 10 seconds ago, 2 seconds ago, because it's an event that happened and it's gone forever. So when you become quiet, the more you become quiet and still, and you're not entertaining any stories, then this space starts to expand. And in that expansion, or your consciousness starts to widen, and then the goodies start to come. It starts manifesting things. And that's where our life really begins from there, because you have freed yourself from the graveyard. And then all these amazing things. I'm not saying like every moment you're going to have like I'm not saying good things in the worldly sense happening. I mean, you still may get in a car accident. You may still slip and break your ankle or whatever. I'm not saying those things won't happen. I'm not saying it's all going to be like great, good things in a sense of the world. No, your quality of life changes beyond your imagination. And eventually you realize you're really in Shambhala. You are in the kingdom of heaven because you're here. And yeah, in a way of saying like the heart opens, because what happens in here and now, you begin to experience your divinity. You begin to experience Her Majesty, the Supreme Being, the Big Kahuna, Lord God, the Supreme Soul, which resides in you, is living in you, it's breathing through you, breathing through me, breathing it through everyone. But you begin to recognize it, that it's actually you, not you in an egoistic way, not, oh, I am God. No, you begin to recognize that the presence is here. Wow, it's me. It's me who I've been looking for. It's here. And then it starts to get really fun. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you from my heart. Really, you have no idea what this means to me. It was amazing. Thank you so much for taking this extra time. I think I was just really confused because I was just had lost so much interest in everything, exactly what you described in the first part of this talk. This academy, you know, it didn't bother me. I didn't care. It's just like, and I was confused about this state because I was probably expecting pure bliss constantly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. And that too, it again, because for years and years, this is what I thought. I'm at satsang with Papaji, Master Papaji, and I'm thinking that, I don't know, let me see, can you mute yourself, whomever it is? I'm with Master Papaji, I'm sitting at satsang, and there's 200 of us sitting there, and most people I don't like him, or they're bugging me, they're annoying me, people. And I'm just thinking to myself that if one day I get enlightened, I probably, like Papaji, I probably just love everybody, and I'm like in this bliss, the stories I hear of Ramana Maharshi or Jesus, and I'm just gonna be always like, you know? Later on, I started to realize that those blissful moments, they also come and go. They're not there all the time. And also, I have a human body and I have my own DNA makeup, and I don't have to like everyone.
Agreed. Yes.
But I love their essence because mm-hmm. their essence is my own self. I love their essence, but I don't have to like the way they look, their style, their smell, their attitude. It's okay. I can just not like people, and that's fine. I don't have to like people, but they don't have to like me. Mm-hmm. And also realizing that now I see it, that bliss is not something comes and goes. The bliss that of the recognition of the self, it's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very subtle. And there, you know, there's bubbles come out of it. It's not an emotion that comes and like, wow, you know, it could be like that, but that comes and goes. The mm-hmm. one that I've noticed, it's always here, but it's very, very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this deep understanding and knowing, deep understanding and knowing. Not a story, not knowledge. It's just a knowing that, number one, is all is well. Everything is being handled by the one who created existence, in a way of saying it. The one that makes this planet turn around itself. And all these planets are turning around and they don't colliding with each other. There's an intelligence here. There's an intelligence that makes the day tonight, night to day, seasons changing, we're going to spring. All these vegetations, they start to bud and bloom. There's an intelligence here that it's been here before I was born, and it's going to be here after I die. Something knows what's up. and I trust, I know it, and I completely trust it because it's the mama, it's the papa, it's carrying me. Is carrying you. None of the things I do is I'm doing it. It's doing it through me and through you and through everybody else. So you start to coming to that understanding and it becomes your knowing. And then there's this really deep sense of silence and acceptance of what is. And then many, many moments in life, you're just like, no matter what happens on the surface, things happen. People attack you, they insult you, they dump you, your people close to you die, you lose things, you lose money in life, you gain, you get heartbroken, but the underlying tone does not change. Mm-hmm. The underlying tone is you always know 100% without any doubts that all is well and you're taken care of. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are moments that doubts come too. There are moments like, oh my God, in this vastness, in this big city of Los Angeles, it's so crazy. So many cars, so many people, so much money, so much da 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 da. There are moments that a thought comes like, oh my God, it's overwhelming, or how am I going to take care of myself, or how am I going to pay my bills, or what's going to happen to me in the future? Because you're, and then you always come back to this place that your mind goes crazy, but you ignore it. Mm-hmm. And you just come back here because you know that all is well. Everything is taken care of 100%.
Again, thank you so much. This was
you're
exactly
welcome.
What I needed. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm happy. Nice meeting you. Thank you for joining us. You're always welcome to join in, and look forward to meeting you in person.
Me too. Safe travels. Right. And
thank you.
Happy you're coming to Europe.
Right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Zarathustra.
Yes. Hi, Omid. How are you, brother?
I came in a little bit too late because I had a session with one of my other coaches.
No problem. Welcome.
Yeah, it sounded very good. It was very relaxing just to dive in.
Well, I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, I was there for probably like 30 minutes. So what's your plan for the rest of the day?
I will communicate with you later, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Now, before I end our broadcast, just know that love is your power and is your true nature. And the word love has been really abused and used, that it's kind of lost its meaning. But when you come back to this place here, you recognize the presence. So you have God in you. Her Majesty, the Supreme Soul, is within you. It's breathing through you. It's dancing around you. It's touching you. It's playing around you. So you're always in this, and it's in you. So every time you become quiet and you stop the madness of life, and you just come back here, the presence reveals itself, this purity, this love, and that's your nature. And it's very easy for us to get caught into the everyday world and forget who we are, but just come back here. Come back here and you recognize who you are. And this is something that no one and no power in the world can ever take it away from you. They can hypnotize you, but they can't take who you are away from you. So come back here and come back to your power. And don't be afraid of loving yourself, accepting yourself, no matter what kind of crazy habits you have or thoughts, because I have a lot of crazy habits and I have a lot of craziness and everything inside myself. I have my own dark side and light, but I've come to love and accept myself with my light and dark. I accept both of them. Both sides are accepted and they're here. And that's who I am. And you do same thing. You love and accept yourself for the way you are right now, not 10 years from now, not if you lose some more weight, not if you make more money or learn another language, just the way you are right now, it's perfect. So just come back to this place and love and accept yourself. And then the love starts to flow. And don't be afraid of sharing it. Don't be afraid of sharing your love and wisdom. Even though you find a lot of imperfections in yourself or impurities, it seems to be that way, but don't be afraid. because you're perfect the way you are. If God wanted you to be different, you would be different. This is how you're meant to be, the way you are. Namaste. And look forward to seeing you soon.